Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The headline says a drug candidate may unmask latent HIV-infected cells, mark them for destruction. As University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine scientists have identified these drug candidates that show promise of the ability to reverse the ability of HIV to escape detection by the body's immune system. And I want to talk with lead author of this paper, Dr. Lori Emmert Sedlak, a PhD, research associate professor in not only microbiology, but also in molecular genetics at the University of Pittsburgh. She is kind enough to join us live here on KDKA. Congratulations on this publication that just came out today in Cell Chemical Biology. What do you think this means, Lori, moving forward? To have this now out there for others to see what you have done, what does this finding mean?
You know, we're really excited about this this project, Rick, and thanks so much for having me on,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, it has implications. The problem, one of the common misconceptions that people have about HIV is that it's kind of under control as a pandemic. And truthfully, it's still a really big medical issue globally as well as in the United States. There's like 40 million people who are living with HIV infection. And there's lots of drugs that control those infections, but there's a lot of problems with them too. You have to stay on them for your whole lifetime, or the virus rebounds, and you come back to just a full infection again. They're very expensive. Those drugs cause resistance in people. And even the people who do live a really long time on those drugs, they're starting to develop with age other types of problems like AIDS-related cancers, AIDS neurodegenerative issues and such. So there's really a move in the HIV field for curative strategies and to get rid of the virus entirely. And one of the reasons that we can't do that is because HIV is what's called a latent virus, and people have probably the most common latent virus that people have heard of is the herpes virus. They know you can get herpes once and then it goes latent or it goes silent in your body and then it can come back again later in your lifetime. And HIV is actually exactly the same. Once you get that infection, it goes latent in your body and then it comes back. So we're actually hopeful that we can start to target the cells that where that latent infection is hiding with these new strategies.
So in essence, what the drugs have done to this point is essentially suppress, if you will, the virus from continuing to spread in the body, for it to keep it from getting worse. But there hasn't been anything there until perhaps now that can actually go about attacking and getting rid of that virus. Is that correct?
That's entirely correct. Yes, there's these latent, we call them reservoirs. And there's everyone in the HIV field, I would say now, is really trying to attack the reservoirs from different angles. And our angle is a protein called NEF, but they're trying to get rid of those because until you get rid of that, you could be on a drug regimen that's keeping your virus completely silent. They can't detect it at all in your body. But if you stop taking that drug, as soon as 2 weeks after you're taken off of those drugs, you have a full-fledged HIV infection again. So it's just hidden there and you're suppressing it and it comes right back. So that's what we're trying to target.
Is the issue when it comes to HIV research that we as Americans and maybe as human beings in general have a short attention span, that we knew about the AIDS crisis of the 80s and the 90s and the world crisis that existed, particularly in places like Africa. And then other things came along and, oh, well, they seem to be doing okay. Magic Johnson's still around, so it's got to be taken care of. I mean, maybe it's an oversimplification, but I think that is maybe human nature, isn't it?
And I love that you say that, because I think that's exactly how all of us as HIV researchers feel.
Yeah.
You know, there are certainly diseases that are so prevalent and so important, cancer and heart disease, and those become the forefront of the medical climate. But because people are controlled on their HIV drugs, and because of people like Magic Johnson, who apparently do very well over a long time, it kind of goes to the back, like, oh, that's controlled. We don't need to worry about that anymore. But now, you know, we're 30, 40 years into the HIV, you know, since discovery of HIV, and those people who have controlled infections, they're becoming aged now, and we're seeing these problems that are coming out, these cancers and these neurodegenerative issues and things like that, and those need to be treated. So, you know, it's going to become a bigger problem as we have an aging HIV population.
Dr. Lori Emmert-Sedlak joining us, Research Associate Professor of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at the University of Pittsburgh, about some really remarkable research that's coming out of labs here in Pittsburgh having to do with HIV-infected cells and the potential to mark them for destruction. Now, that doesn't mean that at this point you're seeking FDA approval for this particular drug compound and we've got it licked, right? I mean, let's be completely honest. This is very early research, but what next? What do we do with what you've found now and what you've published in Cell Chemical Biology?
Absolutely. No, we are not near being an FDA-approved drug yet. In fact, there's probably a long time. The next step for us is going into animals and testing them there and finding really good compounds that do that. But essentially what we've done is taken, we work on a protein that's called NEF. And NEF is one of the proteins of HIV that's called an accessory protein, and that's our target. So we have found very traditional medications, and we've been working on those, I'll call them compounds, for the last 15 years or so. But one of the problems is when you have the traditional compounds like that, they can only bind to the protein. So we work on NEF, so they bind to that, and they only target one or two of its functions, whereas we know that NEF has a lot of different functions in the cells. And actually what it's very important for is preventing or allowing the virus to replicate to really high levels in people. And it also helps the virus to evade the immune system. It actually hides HIV-infected cells from the immune system. So these traditional compounds that we actually published probably now 10 years ago, they can only target one or two of those NEF functions. And what we have now, and is really hot actually in the cancer field, are drugs called PROTACs. PROTACs are right now being used, I think, only clinically against cancer. So we've developed them against this protein called NEF so that it can actually, they bind to it and they target it to go to what I call the garbage disposal of the cell. It's actually called the proteasome, which I know is a pretty big word. But they target it to go to the proteasome and get completely destroyed. So rather than just having a traditional drug that binds to a protein and can only do that for a very short period of time, this actually gets rid of it entirely. And this is, as far as we are aware, the first instance of a PROTAC being used against a virus protein, so an infectious disease.
So you're saying it's more than simply being a marker of that protein. It also can then give you the ability to say, let's do something with that marker, targeting it for destruction, right?
It does. It targets it for destruction, and so it gets rid of it entirely. And that's one of the really important findings that we showed in our paper, is that when you use our PROTACs, we can show that the NEF protein, no matter how highly we express it in cells, and I use artificial systems to express NEF in cells in the lab, but when I add these PROTACs to those cells, we get rid of NEF entirely. And we actually show that it works really well against the virus itself. It gets rid of virus replication. So that was a really exciting finding to us. And I want to give a shout out, because there is a chemist that we work with at Fox Chase Therapeutics Discovery Center. His name is Colin Tyson. He's an author on this paper, and he made all of the PROTACs that we worked with in the lab, which is a really huge undertaking. So that has been a really helpful thing for us, because you have to go through, honestly, drug discovery means testing a lot of drugs before you find just a couple that work.
Yeah, well, obviously the pride, or one of the many prides of the University of Pittsburgh, Dr. Lori Emmert-Sedlak, who was educated here for her graduate degree, stayed here for a postdoc, and now is involved in this research having to do with HIV and drug candidates that could be able to basically unmask these latent HIV cells, marking them for destruction moving forward. Congratulations on the publication, and thank you for breaking it down for us and reminding us that there still is a battle out there against HIV, even though it seems like at this point it's been forgotten by many. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to recognize my lab of Dr. Thomas Misko and all the team that works with me. It's not just me. So thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And these sorts of things, the collaborations that take place with Dr. Smithgall and also, as she mentioned, with Colin Tice and those sorts, it does take a tremendous amount of brain power and specific ideas and abilities within a lab to make these things happen. One person may be the lead author, but there were many that made it happen. Dr. Lori Emmert-Sedlak joining us here from the University of Pittsburgh. Really remarkable stuff happening in labs in Oakland.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.